everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. It is amazing. You're not going to regret listening to it. It's a little bit longer than my usual ones, but every minute is worth it. So buckle in, let's have a good time, and let's meet Kiwan Amy.
Hey everybody, I hope you're doing great. This is episode 11 of Promises Podcast, and I am beyond excited because I have my first interviewee on the show with us today. It is Kiwan Amy, and he is from Durham, North Carolina. He's actually a part of Team Legacy. If you're from Team Legacy, you know who he is and know a bit of his story. And I'm so excited to kind of dive in a bit deeper and get to know him a bit more. So, hey, Kiwan, how are you?
I am doing great, Promise. How are you?
I am good. It's nice and early-ish. I've got my coffee, yeah, and I'm so ready to talk to you and kind of just learn some more about you and Kiwi Enterprises.
Right.
Awesome.
We can dive right in whenever you're ready.
Okay. So just briefly, whatever you want to share, kind of tell me, who is Kiwan?
Well, Kiwan is a what we call Durhamite or Bull City native. That's what they call us down here in Durham, North Carolina. And mainly Bull City came from Durham Bulls. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but that is one of the bigger, I guess you can call them, minor league teams in baseball. And they are connected with the Rays. So we're known for that and a lot of other, you know, history back through time as far as civil rights and things of that nature. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X met here quite a bit.
Wow.
Black Wall Street and all that stuff kind of originated around this area. So it's pretty cool to learn history about that. But that's where I grew up, born and raised. And then, you know, going through school, I was really trying to go to college out of high school, playing sports like football and running track. But when it came down to going for my first visit, which was going to be to North Carolina A&T, they apparently didn't have my information. Mm-hmm. But this was after being told I had been accepted, not once, but twice, which is rather interesting to me. I had two acceptance letters from them.
Wow.
So the day I was getting ready to go on my visit, you know, I call, I'm like, hey, where do I need to go? They're asking me for my information. And I'm like, they're like, wait a minute, we don't have you in our system. I'm like, I'm sorry, say that again. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit back and I'm like, well, Mom, they said they don't have me in their system. And she's like, what? Well, we're looking at the letter right here. That's the reason we called them, because we have their phone number. You know, and so a little did they know, I always have a backup plan regardless of what's going on in my life. And the next day, literally the next day, I am at the Navy recruiter office. Yes, I did say that correct. I was at the Navy recruiter's office first, because that's what my family is mainly been when it came to military. We have a strong Navy background. And so I went to talk to that recruiter, and my whole thing about going to the military was getting schooling paid for, because that was really what I wanted. I wanted to go to college. So I'm talking to the recruiter. I'm like, hey, yeah, I want to learn more about your GI deal. He's like, oh, yeah, let's talk about it. He pulls out a pamphlet. He talks for about, I don't know, 10 minutes on it. And he's like, well, let's talk a little bit about the jobs. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. And, you know, so we start talking about jobs for like 45 minutes to an hour. And I'm like, yeah, but back to that GI Bill thing where you get your schooling paid for. Yeah, what about that? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. So we start talking about it again, and then he jumps back to jobs. And I said, okay, well, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
He's got a quota he needs to fill, you know, and you're not going to stick me in a ship anywhere you want. So I said, hey, I got to go make a running errand, you know, I just psyched my way up out of it. I was like, I got to get out of here because you're not listening to what I'm asking for. So I walked across the hall straight into the Air Force recruiter's office. I didn't pass go. I didn't collect $200. I was like, I'm going straight to the Air Force recruiter's office. And here I am. As soon as I walk through the door, I see a banner that says Community College of the Air Force. I said, this is where I need to be. And sure enough, both of the recruiters was standing right there looking at me. I'm like, this is awkward, you know, because I was like, you guys are ready. But yeah, no, that was how my Air Force journey began. When I was growing up, to take you back a little bit, the biggest thing about me that I understood was I had a passion for music and a drive for learning. Awesome. Those are the two things that I understood, you know? So that was huge in my life. Of course, the music thing with me being a professional drummer now, and also starting to make that a actual thing where I'll be touring here soon. Also along with the EP we'll be discussing later on here. Mm-hmm. You know, I love playing the drums. I can't say it enough. You know, you even talk to me in the middle of the night where I might be falling asleep and you start missing the drums, I woke back up. You know, something like that. I'm awake. You can hit a cymbal any time of the day. I could be literally about to pass out and I'm like, wait, what's that? You know, it's like Squirrel, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing because I love it. It's just a diehard passion. And when you have something like that in you, it just burns all the time. You know, that fire mm-hmm. never goes out. You know, but when you're forced to do it, that's a different thing. See, I was never forced. I forced myself to jump up on that set.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to be heard.
Yes.
But other than that, you know.
That's awesome. I know what you mean, because some people, you know, they in high school, they're in band or something like that, or at a very young age, they're put into like violin lessons or piano lessons. I had so many friends who started piano when they were like 3 and they were amazing. But by the time they got to be like 15 or 16, they were like burnt out and didn't even, they ended up like never playing, even just for fun. That made me so sad.
Right. Yeah, I'm telling you. And with my backing as far as growing up, you know, I watched the drummers ahead of me in my church. One was my cousin who actually taught me. He put me behind the first drums that I ever sat on. And then the other is the one that's still at my church. You know, I watched them all my younger years as I was growing up. I would watch them play. Mm-hmm. Now, me watching somebody play, that's a whole different story. I can tell you everything they're doing. You know, it was just one of those, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Drumline, but he couldn't read music. He could tell you, he could tell that daggone drum up as soon as he heard it, though. You know, and that was me. I'm that type of person. I couldn't read music, but listen, I can mimic whatever you're doing right now. Yes. You know, I was just one of those people. And I just had, that's how I knew it was something, you know, natural.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a God-given talent. Yeah, it was a God-given talent, and I just knew that was going to be a passion of mine. I'm beating on the couches all over the house. I'm bringing out pots and pans when mom goes to work. You know, you know, that was just something I was doing. I'm breaking video games because I'm making them symbols. Like, you know, all kinds of crazy things. And that was just me. My mom got tired of buying me pencils. So she was like, I'm not buying you any more pencils. You break another one, we're going to have a problem. And then they invented mechanical pencils. She was like, try breaking this.
How old were you when you kind of realized your passion for it?
Well, realizing my passion, I might have been, I was like 5 years old when I realized it. And I didn't get behind my first set until I was 7.
Still, that's so young. That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, literally sitting on like the first pew in the church. Right beside the drum set kind of thing.
Nice. That's so cool. I love stuff like that. Yeah. I was, you know me, I sing and stuff, and like, it was kind of the same. It's kind of different with your voice, even though it is like my instrument. It's like, it's just kind of, it's like less tangible to people. It's like, oh, when did you decide you wanted to be a singer? I'm like, well, I've been singing since I could speak. So, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But that's so cool. I love hearing kind of origin stories of people, their passion is, and for me more, because I'm a musician or singer, like when I hear their stories of how they got into music and their, I just love that kind of stuff. We haven't mentioned it yet, but you are blind, right?
Yes.
If you don't mind, I've been like very interested in hearing more of your story and how that kind of how that affected you, and because you didn't, you're 27, and when did mm-hmm. this happen?
This happened a little over 2 years ago, May 5th, 2017, which wow. is, you know, Cinco de Mayo for some.
Yeah.
And I call it my birthday for, you know, that's oh. my birthday.
Is it your actual birthday?
No, no. And what I mean by that is it just rebirthed something new wow. in me. You know, because people say it didn't change me, but what they don't realize is what I'm living with on a daily basis changed me.
Mm-hmm.
So I call that my new birthday.
That's amazing.
And you know, yeah, it's interesting. So I'll tell you a little bit about it. So yeah, May 5th, 2017, I was actually, I have to throw this in there, but I was shooting photography for my business, Kiwi Enterprise,
mm-hmm.
At Jordan Lake here in North Carolina. Now, shooting photography for me is peaceful. It's beautiful. I love nature. So I'm at a lake shooting nature shots, which are on my website. And it just gives you that peace. You want to relax. I thought I was going to go home and take a nap. And then my body's like, dude, let's go for a ride. And so on my way back home, this guy pulls out in front of me. And it must have been last minute because there was no way of avoiding him
mm-hmm.
or even realizing he was going to do it. So in a sense, there was no heads up. There was no sign of saying, Keywon, you need to slow down. Or Keywon, hey, this guy is about to pull out in front of you. You know, there was nothing. No signs, no nothing until mm-hmm. he did it. Now, thankfully, there were two cars behind him who witnessed it because who knows if he would have left. Like mm-hmm. I said, this is a quiet area. It's a two-lane road. You know, regardless of what, you know, you think people's hearts might be, they might not be able to, you know, stomach something like that and live with it. So they might take off.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that there were two cars who witnessed it. And also in the police report said, we saw the motorcyclist coming. We don't know how he didn't. That didn't happen, of course, because I am now smashed into a car, flipped over. I don't know where or what happened, because at this point, I am unconscious for the next month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So May 5th, like I said, was when it happened. I didn't come to until June the 6th.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they had me in a medically induced coma because of all this, the numerous surgeries I had to endure.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know. And like I said, that happened at 2-ish that day. Now, my mother, who had come by my house she came by my house once and called twice. And of course, I'm not answering because I am actually in the hospital. Fighting for my life, but she has no idea because they have not talked to her yet.
Wow.
She does not find out until 10:30 that night that I was in the hospital.
What?
In critical condition. Yeah. Now, it's partially my fault, but it's also partially the military's fault. Now, we have a rule in the military where you don't have to change your address every time you move. As long as you're staying in that local area, you don't have to change your address on your license because it can help with security purposes and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, so I still had my Goldsboro address, but I was living in Durham, North Carolina. And they sent a unit down to Goldsboro looking for someone who might know me at the address that was listed on my license. Of course, nobody's there because I don't know anybody that lives there anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So luckily they went to the base after that when they saw my military ID in my wallet and was, you know, just like, hey, does this airman belong to this base? They're like, we'll look into it. They look into the system. Yes, he does. He belongs to so-and-so unit. This is who you need to put the point of contact. Here you go. And so they called our chief pilot, And the chief pilot ended up calling my mom while she's in Walmart that night. My chief pilot's like, hey, you might want to come to UNC Hospital. Your son was in a terrible motorcycle accident. And she never said another word. She had been trying to find me all day. Like I was telling you earlier, she called or came by once and called twice. So that was one of the biggest things. And, you know, then she was like, hey, we got to go. You know, telling my stepdad, we got to go. He's like, what? We just got here. He's like, we got to go. And, you know, yelling. She's in Walmart now.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's like, uh-oh, something ain't right. You know, we really got to go. So he just, they just leave the basket, take off running out of Walmart. I know everybody's looking at them like they're crazy. Oh. You know, but anyway, she finally gets in the car and tells him what's happening. And nobody's talking because they're just trying to let it all now sit in while they're on the ride to UNC. And so that was, oh man, a day to remember. I mean, something I'll never forget. Waking up in a hospital bed, and you're like, wait a minute. I know I'm awake, so why can't I see? And I like close my eyes and open them again. I'm like, okay, something ain't right here. So I hear people in my room, and I'm like, well, that was my mom. Let me ask her what's going on. I'm like, hey, so I try to say hey, but then I realize my mouth is wired shut.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, my mouth was wired shut because of all the substantial damage in the reconstructive surgery of my face, because I have two metal plates in it. That it had to be done. So in order for me not to mess it up, they had to make sure my mouth would not open. So yeah, I'm like, I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Oh, wow.
And she finally comes to my bedside and she's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, trying to ask her, what is this motorcycle accident dream y'all keep talking about? So she's like, hey, write it down. I'm like, I don't want to write it down. Just understand me. I'm getting frustrated at this point. You know, because I can't talk. I'm in a hospital bed. I can't see.
Yeah.
I can't move. I don't know what the heck is going on. Like, help me.
Yeah.
You know? And so she was like, look, I can't understand you. I really need you to write it down. And so I started writing it down. Now, remember, I can't see, but I do remember what paper and, you know, pencils, all that stuff feel like. So I try to do my best of not writing over top of what I already wrote. And I wrote it, and she read it, and she was like, oh, that's not a dream. And all I could do was sink into my bed. She was just like, that is not a dream. And I'm like, I'm sitting there like, there's no way. Like, no, this is not possible.
Did she realize?
I know for a fact I'm safe.
Yeah. Did she realize at that time that you couldn't see? Is that why she asked you to write it down, or did she know?
No, she knew I couldn't see. Okay. She knew I couldn't see. It was just that writing it down was the only way she could understand me because I couldn't talk. So there were barriers until they finally, you know, took the wires out of my mouth. I think that was like a week later or something. And you want to talk about a happy somebody.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, I was so happy. I was like, please, can somebody bring me something to bite on? Also, you know, learning how to walk again is really something you don't anticipate happening in your life.
Yeah.
And the reason I had to learn how to walk again, not just because, you know, I broke my leg. That's great. That's cool. And now I broke it. Your bones heal back pretty smoothly. But it's the metal rods that don't want to work inside your body.
So I have
a metal rod in my right leg where, I guess you could call that. So from your knee to your ankle is a metal rod. And then on my left leg, my femur, I broke that.
Oh, wow.
So that's a rod too. Yeah, and that's like the strongest bone in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke that and had to get that inserted. And then I have 2 rods and 12 screws in my lower back. So it's infused as well.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you're talking about Iron Man. I know what he feels like.
So those are all the surgeries that were going on that they had you in the coma for, right?
Yeah. Wow. Definitely. So, like, literally, I think my mom said the first think it was the first 10 days, she said, they couldn't do any surgeries on me because of all the intense swelling. You know, so they had to let some of that swelling go down because my brother said I looked like I was an NFL football player. Like, that's how much swelling I had.
I was going to say, you said after your mom told you that that wasn't a dream, that you didn't talk the rest of the day. I'm guessing you were in some major shock, probably.
Shock, man.
I can't even begin to relate.
Good Lord. Do they have another word for shock right now? Oh, man. Like, literally, I am like, wait, what? What are you talking about? Like, no. Nah. I'm going to go to sleep, and this is going to change, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I felt. I feel like every single day, I'm going to go to sleep, and this is going to change. I'm going to go to sleep, and this is going to change. I'm going to go to sleep. And when I wake up, it's going to change. You know, that's how I feel. But it never changed. And that was the biggest thing, you know, that I had to, you know, grasp. And at first, I couldn't fathom it because I'm like, well, they say, you know, always have faith. I have faith. Don't get me wrong. I am definitely a faith believer. And what you're not going to do is tell me I gave up on my faith. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen to me before. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
you know, don't tell me I don't believe in, you know, my God. So that right there really bothered me when somebody did say that, and it hurt even worse when it was a family member.
Wow.
You know, things like that. Like, people don't understand, like, the things that you go through or hear or see or have somebody say to you when you're in these moments, because they're not used to dealing with you on a daily, is really the harshest part of the battle. If I had to sit here and tell you that, man, this is cake, man, I'm gonna tell you right now, this is the easiest life I ever had, I'd lie to everybody I ever spoke to, because this is not easy. No, not even a little bit. Mm-hmm. The saying, the strong survive, that's a harsh statement. I don't know who came up with that. But look, hey, I'm weak right now. No, I'm just...
Yeah.
But no, it's just like, really, you're just sitting there some days alone, some days you have company. You know, on those days that you're alone, your brain is playing with you every second of the day. As the clock ticks for 24 hours, your brain is playing with you. Mm-hmm. You might be on medicine. You know, when I was originally still on medication, you know, I'm hallucinating that sometimes. I'm like, wait, like, oh, snap, I might be able to see. Uh-oh, I think it's coming back. And then I'm like, no, that ain't it. And this is all happening. The same way I'm telling it to you is the same way it's happening. You know, I'm like listening to the NFL football game, laying in my bed, thinking I can watch it, but really I was just asleep trying to dream it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, literally, that was my brain the entire time I'm going through this, making everything feel real.
Wow.
Yeah. Because what it does is, since I have seen before, it just kind of brings up little images. Mm-hmm. It brings a whole bunch of different images that you have seen in your life and puts them together, pieces them all together. And it's like, oh, yeah, dude, let's stitch this photo together, and you're going to put that in your brain. Oh, yeah, that's what that looks like.
That's amazing. The brain is so amazing.
You want to talk about a powerful thing. That thing is really, it's really strong. And I tell my friends all the time, like, the harshest part of the human anatomy that people don't realize is that we only use a itty-bitty piece of our brain. Imagine if we could unleash more, it would be even more chaotic out here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because with the little bit of brain power that we can use, we do some very amazing things. But if we were able to use more of it, you're talking about some craziness.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about it. You know, I'm just like, I don't even know what else to say about it. It's just crazy. So I tell my friends all the time, and I try to keep them uplifted, because they look at me and think I'm like one of my best friends since the age of 5. He was saying, dude, you're like my Superman. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you talking about? you know, I mean, anytime, I'm not Superman. I just laughed at it. He's like, no, like, you really like my Superman. He's like, I don't think I could handle this. I said, now, thinking about handling it versus actually handling it are two different things. See, if I thought the same way you did, I'd be in the same boat. Mm-hmm. But I'm not thinking about handling it. I'm actually handling it. Yeah. And he was like, whoa, wait, what? I was like, that's yes, deep. That's the difference. Yeah, you know, that's the difference. I'm like, dude, thinking about it is one thing. But when you're actually handling it, that's a whole other story, dude. You have to handle it. Don't think about it. Be about it.
Yeah.
Just understand that they're all, and I learned this, I think more so in high school than anything. If this person did it, and all the other ones before me did it, I know I can do.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to realize. I ain't the only blind person in the world. So if they can do it, so can I.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the biggest things I definitely took into effect or account when it was time for me to get back on my feet and get moving again, to be honest.
Since kind of reading briefly in Team Legacy, your story, I've just been like...
Mm-hmm.
I've just kind of been like, oh my gosh, kind of like your friend. I've been like, wow, this guy is like a Superman, like for real. That's kind of how my mindset has been too. But getting to talk to you about it and just like how you're saying, like, basically just, you've got to each day just get up and live, you know, you got to just do it. That's really, really cool. Did it, cause you said that you, do like motivational or inspirational speaking. Did it come from this, or did you, were you doing it prior?
Some would say prior, but me, I would say, yeah, it came from this. And mostly because now we can all say this, but how impactful is it? And what I'm saying is we all have a story to tell, but I understood that I have a story to tell, you know? Not only is it going to be motivational, but it'll be inspiring as well. And it's not for me to just be like, oh no, if you don't think you can do something, then you ain't about nothing in life. That ain't what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is we all have our ups and downs. We all have our battles. We've all been through something. Whether you were in an accident, whether you were molested as a child, whether you had parents that were in and out of prison, you know, anything like that. You know, regardless of your situation, how do you overcome that situation?
Mm.
Do you just lay down and wallow in it? Do you want somebody to feel sorry for you? Or do you stand up and say, hey, I can get out of this? You build your own mountain at some point. But I know we all talk about how we can move mountains. Let's build one real quick. And stand on top of it and say, look, I conquered all this.
Wow.
You know? So with this accident, with all the downfalls I had, and what I'm saying right now is I've been stripped of everything. That's what a lot of people don't pay attention to. I've been stripped of everything. Now, what I'm saying is I've been stripped of my Air Force career. I've been stripped of my ability to just willingly go to school. I've been stripped of my business, you know, just the natural of me just doing everything for my business.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to find loops and, you know, ways around doing things. And it's kind of on a back burner right now. I have been stripped of you know, just socialization, really, because I can't get up and go out without somebody, you know, having to be near me. Like, getting up and going to a bar by myself, oh, man, don't try to do that on your own. Somebody might try to get you, you know? you know, stuff like that. I've been stripped of my own apartment, my own living condition. I've been stripped of my car. My motorcycle, of course, was lost in the accident, you know, and, it, you know, just things of that. Your own individual privacy and space is really something that people don't understand as you start to move into that spectrum. If you don't want somebody in your space, you ain't going to have them in your space. But when you ain't got no choice, guess what? You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't earn a check. The only check I get is from the government with Social Security. Thank God I did work as long as I did, because I probably wouldn't be getting that.
That's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I thank God that I am getting some kind of money, but it's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my story is to motivate you and say, look, if I can do it, so can you. But it's all about you, not about what I'm doing or what the words I'm putting into you is about. It's about you understanding what's inside of you first. Now, these words that I'm saying to you will boost you. That's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the inspiration kicks in.
Like, I mean, I'm just like inspired just in this time that we're talking. You know, I'm like, what? I have nothing to complain about. Like, and I know we all have things that we've been through and stuff like that. But for me personally, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like if I complain about something, that's just ridiculous. You know, when you talk to someone who has had something so big happen to them and affect them like that, what has happened to you, it's just like, it puts things into perspective big time.
Right.
So I thank you so much for sharing all of that. And like I said, I've been so intrigued about your story, just wanting to know more. And cause you're already always so positive on your social media. It just like has blown my mind. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. And I've been really curious. I know I've kind of asked a little bit, but, can you share a little bit of the stuff like that you use to now, cause you do social media, you're on there pretty often.
Right.
Like, what do you use for people like me who just have no idea what kind of things are available? What do you use to, like, navigate social media?
With my phone, I have an Apple iPhone XR. Apple is amazing. I have to say that. I'm sorry. I hope there aren't any offended Android listeners. But Apple is amazing because they have a built-in feature called VoiceOver, which is for visually impaired people. And what that does is literally what it says. It voices over everything that you're doing. So if you swipe to the right and like you swipe over Facebook, it says Facebook. If you swipe again and it says YouTube, it'll be on YouTube. Now, if you want to access YouTube, you just double tap as if you were double clicking a mouse.
Uh-huh.
So you double tap the screen and it'll open up. Now, as you're navigating, you can also use your finger to just kind of you know, roll it over the screen, and the only time it'll actually do something is if you double tap.
Awesome.
So if you're like, you can roll your finger over the screen, and it'll say, for example, Q1 M Amy, and then you over my name. But if you keep scrolling, that means now you're over the status that I wrote, and it'll start reading out the status. You know, so I could either use my finger to do that, or I could do the swipe method like I was just telling you. And I can swipe, like, and it'll say, promise Jordan Rhodes. And it'll say, doing another episode of my podcast today. You guys go check it out. You know, something like that. It'll start reading everything. It'll say the background that you might use. It might be like a purple background. And then it'll start reading out the status that you wrote. And that's how Facebook works. Now, as far as like Instagram, because I am on there as well. Now that they have actually become a little bit more accessible because, I think a couple months ago, they weren't that accessible as they are now. It's kind of like, I ain't want to use it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of not on there as frequently as I am now. So they doing the little, story feed, they have it where you can just, you know, swipe and whoever posts is up there, it'll read everything. It'll say their name, it'll say when they posted it, like if it was an hour ago, and then it'll say a picture or a video, and then it'll read out their caption. Now, as far as the video, you have to, depending on how you have your phone set up, you either have to double tap on the video, or if you already have your phone to start playing the video with it not being muted, it'll do that. So that's based on how you have your settings set up. But also, like I said, you can do the swipe method and it'll go to the next person down the story feed. Now, as far as the individual tabs at the bottom of the screen, you, you can move your finger down there, like I was telling you, you scroll your finger down to the bottom, mm-hmm. and then you'll find that row where all those tabs are. Now, when you get to the tabs, you can either do where you move your finger over the tab, or you can swipe to the tab. So, for example, I know Facebook has newsfeed, it has live or watch, whichever one, then it has groups, it has notifications, and then it has Facebook menu or something like that. So, you know, I know what all of them are individually on the bottom rows of where those tabs are, you know, at that bottom row,
mm-hmm.
Because I've been using it for so long. And then when you go to, like, create a post, like I said, doing that swipe feature, I'll swipe until it says create post, and then I'll double tap, and then it'll open up where I can create a post. Now, what I'm looking for when I go into that is I'm going to keep swiping until it says what's on your mind. Because everybody knows that's like what Facebook's asking you when you get ready to write a status. It says, what's on your mind? And so you double tap into that field and you write whatever the heck you want. You know, and that's how I do it. And then as far as emojis, some emojis pop up with certain words. For example, LOL, the emojis that are associated with LOL are the crying with the laughter emoji and squinting face, yeah, with smile, like a smiling squinty face or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
those are the two that are associated with it. So that's why I always use those.
That's the one he always sends.
Yeah. So as a shortcut, instead of going to the emojis keyboard, I just type in LOL, and all mm-hmm. I got to do is find that as a prediction.
Awesome.
And then I double tap on it. And boom, it's inserted. And I really, really like Apple and how they did that. And, you know, just the ways that they were able to incorporate us into their system,
mm-hmm.
and being able to use their products. Because
yeah.
that's on all of their products. It's on their iPhone, the iPad. The Apple Watch has features as well, because I do have one of those as well, where you do the same thing. And then the rotary on the side of the Apple Watch, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it actually twists so that you can move along, you know, the face of the Apple Watch to the different icons.
That's awesome.
So that's
I don't
cool.
know.
Yeah,
I don't have an Apple Watch, but that's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, too. So it's awesome. It's pretty sweet. I need to see what new updates they got with that new 13 release.
Yeah. Awesome. And thanks for telling us, because when it's not something that's in your life, you and it hasn't been brought to your attention, you just have no idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something I was really wanting to do, is kind of let people into your world of how life works for you, and how you're able to navigate not just the internet but just everything. It's so intriguing to me. It's very, very cool.
Oh yeah.
I did want to ask, so you did say that Kiwi Enterprises is kind of on the back burner just because of this and trying to figure out kind of how to move forward. But I was wanting to know kind of what are your, because we met through an entrepreneurial group. So we both kind of have that in common. I wanted to know, what are your goals for Kiwi Enterprises and your music, because I know you said you're wanting to hopefully go on tour, and then we can discuss the EP right now.
Because
I'm so excited.
You and me both. You don't even understand. Like, I'm actually a part of a drummers group. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's like Drummers Artistry Mastermind or something like that. And the first thing I did, after, you told me about the approximate deadline or, time frame that we would be heading out, I was like, hey, guys, what's the best way of getting a drum set on a plane? That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, okay, I didn't know. What's the best way of getting a drum set on a plane? You know, and everybody's giving me their, and I say, all advice is welcome. Because I'm that person. I want to hear what everybody's opinion is.
Mm-hmm.
Because some might be better than others. And also, I might be able to use that same advice to tell another drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, I'm getting great feedback, and I think I've already selected the way that I want to go about doing it. And I thought about that. If I really want my kid, you know, to be seen, for example, if we were doing a video shoot along with the EP, I would bring my whole kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because my kid is special to me. On the front of the bass drum, I have a custom-made drum head on the bass drum. Oh, so nice. When it's showing to the crowd, it says the blind drummer 919, and it has a pair of shades on it.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. So like, if we were doing a video shoot, I'm like, oh no, I gotta bring my drum set. Yeah. So that's why I said listen to all advice is great, because one day I might have to do that. No idea if you're going into the studio. He was like, yeah, just tell them everything you want, like be specific. They can do that. And I was like, oh, they can, I didn't know that. He was like, oh yeah. I was like, oh sweet, I might go do that, because that might be the cheaper route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with me, I know how to tune, and you know, if I got a great bass guitarist who knows what key we need to be in, we're going to tune just right.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing about it. And so that was the first thing I did, man. I was like, I got to figure out how to get these drums there, or what's the best thing for me to do to get some drums.
Yeah.
And so I'm already set.
Awesome.
I'm set. Yeah, so let's talk about Kiwi Enterprise real quick. So Kiwi Enterprise was founded and established by yours truly on January 3rd, 2017, which is 4 months prior to my accident. So, you know, it was fairly new, but I was getting great traction. That was the biggest thing about it. I was getting some great traction. I was working on it night and day. Like, I would be up till 3 a.m. in the morning, and I didn't work that day as well, just working on this thing. And you talk about somebody dedicated, mm-hmm. That was me. And it wasn't because, you know, I was like, oh, this is going to make me a million. It was because I found an interest. I love computers. I always have. I've been a nerd since I was a little kid. I'm sorry. I have to tell everybody, you know. I've been a nerd since I was a little kid. And what made me want to create Kiwi Enterprise, which, by the way, is a website design and management business, social media marketing, and also photography business. So the reason I came up with this was because I took a class in college while I was, you know, on my way to get my degree that I had. I still have a year left to finish. I took a website design class. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And when I took this class, I was like, dude, this is awesome. This is fun. Learning how to do HTML, learning how to just, you know, put things together so that people other than myself get enjoyment out of it, that was fun to me. And I said, how do I get in on this? You know, and that was what I was thinking. How do I get in on it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why not create my own? You know? And so that was what I did. I created my own. And then I was like, well, what makes me different from others, though? You know, because everybody can do that. I mean, there's a lot of people that can look up how to, you know, type out HTML coding, or even copy and paste it if you want to. There's plenty of websites you can find. We just copy and paste that stuff. But what would make me different? Okay, how about my expertise? What about my creativity?
Mm-hmm.
What if I want to be very personable with someone? I can do that because I'm going to be catering to the small, personal, or medium-sized business. I'm not looking for the Fortune 500s. I'm not looking for those guys. They can pay, you know, out the wazoo and probably already have somebody in their staff who's doing their website. You know, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the smaller businesses who don't understand why you need a website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I was looking for. And I even wrote a blog about it. And, you know, out of that blog, that was probably what got me the most traction, because there were so many small businesses that really did not know why they needed a website. For example, there was a locksmith business. It was like, oh, I don't need a website. Like, I'm a locksmith business. As long as I got my phone number in the phone book or the newspaper, I'm like, dude, how many people look at that now?
Right.
like, that was the first thing. I was like, well, how many people you know look at that? I'm like, do you want business or do you want the old loyal customers you've always had? Like, that's the only thing you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he read my blog. I tagged him in it on Facebook. And he read it. He's like, wow, dude, you really completely changed my mind and how I look at websites now. And I was like, well, that's what it was for. And what made me tie the three, website design and management, social media marketing, and photography together, because everybody's like, wait, why don't you just do, you know, one? Why don't you just do website design and management? I was like, well, see now, most businesses that only have one, you know, entity that they really bounce off of, it's really not that lucrative. Because
mm-hmm.
everybody's going to be like, well, what I need is this. And I'm like, well, I don't know anybody you can go to for that, but I know what I can do.
Yeah.
I was trying to let them know that there was a one-stop shop they needed. And I put it in the manner of, I can build your website, but I can also create you a Facebook business page if you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want that? That could be a package deal. I could write your Facebook business, you know, excerpts or whatever you like. I could create you an Instagram business page. I could create you a Pinterest business page. You know, stuff like that. And then I said, well, with you being the CEO, or if you have a team, I can get you guys a group photo. Or I can get you all headshots, because I am a photographer as well. Would you like that? You know, and that's what I was doing. I saw, like, they would come to my page. I have my photography listed on the website, whether it was nature, whether it was cars, whether it was, you know, people, you know, planes, anything. Like, whatever you want me to shoot, just let me know and I'll do it. The best thing that I could do in marketing for my business was telling them, I created my website. Go look at it. That was the best thing I could do. People would go to my website, and as soon as it opens, like, as soon as it comes up, then it's like, whoa. You know, like, oh, this is awesome. And if anybody does want to visit my website, the address is www.kiwi enterprise.com. And that NC stands for North Carolina.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you do want to visit it, go ahead, check it out. Like I said, it's got everything that I've done, you know, for those first four and a half months that I had the business running. All that stuff is up there. I got some really beautiful pictures. I started getting so good towards the end of my my journey. Well, not the end, but towards the latter part of my journey with the photography. And you'll be able to tell. But it was beautiful, and I've had some journeys on that photography, like with my Air Force travels. Mm-hmm. I was taking my camera with me, so we would be going to places like, you know, England and Germany.
Oh wow!
And like the archipelago of the Azores, and you know, stuff like that. And I'm just taking pictures left and right. Hawaii.
I was wondering, like, so since you have all of that photography, if someone wanted to like use it on their website or something, could they pay you to, like, have a permission? Or, like, are you going to pursue anything like that?
Now, I have it set up where you can actually buy my photography.
Oh, awesome. You already got it.
Yeah, it's already set up that way. I told you, I'm already ahead. Like, I'm, like, really ahead of a lot of things. I got it set up where you can buy it. And it can be printed however you want it. It can be printed as a canvas. It can be printed on a poster. Can be printed as, like, you know, just a regular picture. You know, it's really nice. You're able to buy it officially off that page. So that's the best part about it.
Awesome. I can't wait to
Yeah, no, they can definitely buy from any of it.
So how did you come up with Kiwi?
Kiwi. I was wondering if you were going to ask about that. That's beautiful. So Kiwi, we have to go back in time to the young men of Kiwanee. Back in the country, everybody gets a nickname, okay? So, I don't know how mine came about, but my aunt loved it. My great aunt loved that name, okay? For one, her name, or, you know, what we called her was Polly, and her real name was Christine.
What?
I don't know how this happened. exactly. How does that correlate?
Polly?
I'm Polly. So, literally, man, she gave us nicknames, you know, and she would step out on that stoop, and we would be running around playing, and she would come out and say, Kiwi! And I'm like, I think I heard my name. I gotta go, y'all. I'll be back.
That's
you know,
awesome.
And I would take off running. So my great aunt Polly, she came up with my nickname. Now, the reason Kiwi Enterprise, it also stuck with me in the military. I guess you could say as an air crew member, they give you what they call a call sign. So, when I'm getting ready to finish my tech school, my instructor was like, you know, one thing you haven't done, man, is give you a call sign. I'm like, okay, how does that work? He's like, well, do you have any nicknames? I was like, well, you know, back home, they call me Keith. He's like, Keith? I'm like, yeah, like a car key, K-E-Y? He's like, nah, that's not a good one. He's like, no, that's not a good one. You need a better one. I was like, KJ? He's like, no, not liking that one either. I was like, okay, well, my aunt, she used to call me Kiwi. Kiwi, I like it. So literally, that was how that happened. Like, I like it. And I'm like, oh, God, what did I just do? Like, I just opened up a whole can. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And literally on my room operator association card, it says Kiwan, and then in quotations, Kiwi, Amy. To now put the spin on where it came from for the business side of it. Now, here we go. In, I think it was 2013 or 14, my great aunt that I told you gave me that name, she passed away.
Oh, wow.
Due to cancer. And right before she passed away, I was getting ready to deploy. And I went to see her after I thought I had finished out processing. We get there, and all I could remember was walking into that hospital room. You know, family was around the bed, but the only person I'm focused on is my aunt. That's the only person I see right now. And all you saw was like a shell.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my grandmother is at the foot of her bed. She's like, oh, hey, Polly, Courtney and Kiwan are here. And so she looks over towards the door. And then she looks back at the TV. Doesn't say a word. Now I'm just like, that is not her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, she's already gone, you know, starting to transition. And I could tell, like, she never spoke a word while we were in there. And we stayed there for a good little while. And I was like, okay, this is not right. I don't even know if I can stay here any longer, you know, like, because I know what my aunt was.
Mm-hmm.
She was joyful. She was happy, cheerful, like excited. She would do anything for you. If she didn't have it, she didn't care as long as you had it. Like that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And it just tore me apart, you know, because I deployed on that Monday after I saw her. And I think either the day or two after I got to my deployed location, I was receiving a text message saying that she had passed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was like, I knew it was coming. And I was just like, well, what do I do to, you know, keep a memory of her? You know, I'm thinking, literally going through my head, should I get a tattoo to, like, symbolize it? I'm like, no, that's not going to be a big enough stamp. I don't like that. That's... You know, I'm like, that's not something that I feel she would, you know, enjoy.
Yeah.
Or have been pleasured by. I said, nope, you know what? When I did come to cahoots of making my business, it was Kiwi Enterprise. And that was the reason I named it that, and it'll forever be that name. And I was just so thankful, you know, that I could have something to have her remembered by. And I really love her, and I miss her dearly. You know, it's not a moment that I might, you know, sit back and think, man, what if, or where's my aunt, you know?
Yeah.
She'd be pulling up at the church and I'd be walking outside, like, hey, auntie,
no.
Hey, man, you know, stuff like that. So it's days like that, man, you remember and you miss. But yeah, that's it right there.
That's so, being an aunt myself, like if one of my nephews like named their business like kind of based off of something I did, I would be like, it would just be the best thing ever. So that's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Well, I want to kind of plug the EP and what we're doing.
Okay.
So for anyone who doesn't know already, because I've been kind of plastering it everywhere online, me and Kiwan and a few other people we're going to be recording an EP, and it's going to be early next year, early 2020. And I did start a Kickstarter because it's not cheap. I want it to sound good, and I want to make sure that we have plenty of money to do what we need to do in like the post-production and everything. So I kind of brainstormed with the sound engineer that we're going to be working with, and he said the Kickstarter amount that I put of $2,000, which sounds like it's a lot, but he said that would give plenty of room. So that's the goal, and that one, the end date is 60 days, so it's not a whole lot of time, but I know that we can make it happen. I know that we can get that, no matter what the EP is happening, but having it funded would be a huge help. And like I said, you know, the people that are going to be coming to record, I'm definitely going to try and reimburse in some sort of way. And if anyone, like whoever's listening, if you could go to, I'll put the Kickstarter link and everything. Even if all you can do is share the Kickstarter page, that's going to help so much. So I'm super excited. I don't know what 5 songs I'm going to put on there yet. But what we're going to do is whenever we decide, I'm going to send it to all of the musicians. And that'll give time to practice and kind of figure out what you want to do. And I'm just like, I'm beyond excited. I've done EPs before, but only with my old band. I've never done it like where it's just my music or my songs. So I'm excited, a little nervous, but excited. And I'm so thankful that you are interested and excited and want to come do that with me. Like, I think it's going to be something very special.
Oh yeah. I don't even know. Like, I'm trying to figure out what word I can use besides excited right now.
Yeah.
Because I just want to jump.
like a lady?
I can jump through the roof and just like,
whoa. Yeah. I think it's going to be something very, very awesome. I really, really do. And I'm still looking for a bassist. So whenever I share this, if someone knows in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or if they have a way to get here, like Kiwan's going to be coming from North Carolina. That, like, I'm just excited. I don't have words.
right.
But
it's awesome.
Yeah. I guess, thank you so much for coming on. I feel like we have had such a cool conversation, and I'm so excited. Thank you so much for coming on. I feel like we have had such a cool conversation, and I'm so excited that this worked out. I'm so happy that it worked out where we could get together and do this. And thank you so much. Like, I am humbled that you wanted to come on and be my first interview. I've been kind of nervous about doing interviews because I've never done, like, hosted, you know. Thank you so much for being my guinea pig and being so awesome. This was great. I had a great time. Real quick, plug your social media. I know we've got your website. Where can people find you on social media?
So, for social media on Facebook, you can find me at Kiwan M. Amy, and that is KIJUAN. The capital letter M, and then last name is AMEY. For Twitter, it's at Kiwi Enterprise. And then for Instagram, story_of_success.
Story_of_success.
And
awesome.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it, where I'm, mainly focused right now. So,
All right, awesome. And I'll definitely put all of the links below. Thank you so much. Do you have any last words or anything you'd like to, any last things you'd like to say?
Yeah, sure. I'll, you know, put out my quote, which now is, I may have lost my sight, but I did not lose my vision.
Goosebumps. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Awesome.